Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Sunday evening special, February 10th. I'm joined by JB, John Birdsong. How are you, my guy?
Brandon Reese, it's so good to be back as Eminem.
It is. It feels like we just had it. Due to some scheduling conflicts and such, we're having this week's show a little early. So for all you that were interested in Jonathan Birdsong's takes for Walking Dead, you're going to have to tune in tonight to Twitter to get those takes from him.
Yeah, later on tonight.
Now, I've watched it already. Luckily, I'm not going to say how I got to watch it, but special scenarios, I actually got to watch the episode about 5 days ago. So, it was good. It was good.
Okay.
So, something to look forward to. I mean, I guess it's fun. And when you hear this, I mean, you got to watch it. When you got that guy back roaming the streets, I mean, God help us all. So, all right, John, not sure how long tonight's going to be. Nick will not be joining us this evening, but he will be joining us next week. So he did give me some notes to talk about. But let's first break down the NBA. NBA trade deadline was this past Thursday. It did come, and there was a lot of moves the night before on Wednesday night, and then also on Thursday during the day there was moves. A lot of teams positioned themselves. There was moves that were not made that probably should have. It's created an interesting dynamic, and that one I'm talking about with New Orleans and Anthony Davis. So first, let's talk about the trade that did not happen, the biggest one, Anthony Davis to another team or even the Lakers. So now he's going to be with the Pelicans. We saw how it played out on Friday night where he had 38 points through three quarters, and they did not play him in the fourth in a very close game. They ended up winning, but John, how toxic, how weird is that as a New Orleans Pelicans fan or even the players on the team, the fact they need to lose so they get a better lottery pick. So do you play Davis? Do you not play Davis? Then you get an issue with the NBA. So what's your take on all of that?
Man, when it first started out, it was a mess because it bleeds into two other teams and how they're trying to, one, the Lakers trying to get back into the playoff run, and then two, the Celtics trying to, you know, keep their team together. So the whole Anthony Davis announcement kind of sent rattles throughout the NBA. I remember Wojciechowski or Brian, what's the kid that looks like super bad? What's his name? Nobody calls him too bad anymore. But anyway, those guys are saying that a trade of Anthony Davis' magnitude, the way his contract is set up and how early he is into it, it would send all kind of waves throughout the NBA. With my limited knowledge of how, I was playing with the trade machine 20 years ago on ESPN. So, you know, just pat myself on the back, right? But with my limited knowledge, man, the Lakers needed a third team. They would have needed a third team I get the offer, you know, saying all those things became, you know, and even then, it was too much for what New Orleans was asking, and, you know, I just don't, you said a train wreck, that's exactly what it is, because this kid, you know, Anthony Davis or whatever, through, you know, LeBron, him and LeBron shared agent, kind of started his free agency a year earlier. You know, his free agency, like, you know, his what they call it, like how they want to be romanced into, like, either being traded or being courted or whatever, right? It started a year too soon. When I looked at what the Lakers were wanting to trade, like, I get it, Brandon. You know me, what I believe. LeBron James, if he's playing with another guy, they got a chance to get to the title. If he's playing with another A-level, alpha-level guy, they got a chance to get to the title, just one. But you still have to have a semblance of a team. You know what I'm saying? They can't play 2-on-5. They won't win, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? Not even, you know, they won't. But it's a mess. It's still somewhat of a mess. I think the Lakers have kind of cleaned up their mess. I would imagine after the Pacers, whatever they blew, them out by 30. It was more than that one.
Yeah. 40. Yeah, almost 40.
Yeah, so I would imagine, like, the next day, Magic would have had a conference call. Not only Magic, but, you know, Jenny Buss would have had a conference call, not only with the team, including LeBron. Hey, man, y'all can't quit. Like, the people of Indianapolis and everywhere else who probably drove to the game paid for you guys to compete, and you didn't compete. Y'all are better than this. And they showed that they were better than that. You know, I mean, the next day, I know we'll get to that next game with them in Boston here in a second, in a little bit. But the whole Anthony Davis thing, you're right. I mean, they're already out of the playoff mix, right? They kind of sold off. Dale Demps, their general manager, who, man, I don't know what his mind. I don't know where his mind's at, dude. I don't, because he just brought in Mitrovic, and he traded him. He traded him for basically nothing for what he had to give up to get him. So, again, I know the organization in New Orleans was kind of body slammed by Anthony Davis's, you know, trade demand, and it's kind of, it's short on short notice to try to trade a player of his caliber to wherever, you know what I'm saying? The good thing is, here's what I say, Brandon. Put a silver lining. The good thing is, he said he's Donner. He's not. I know. He's not Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to quit on the team. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the good thing is he is playing. They're already kind of in the lottery mix, to be truthful. You know what I mean? I think, last time I checked, they got him going anywhere because of their record. They got him going anywhere between 10 and 14, where they'll be picking at. Depending upon – they're not going to make no run where they win 10 games in a row. You know, they're not. You know what I'm saying? With him playing or not, they're not. So they already kind of got them in the lottery mix anyway. And in the summertime, I assume, you know, it'll be on Dale Demps to save his job.
Yeah.
Because Brandon, what is the DeMarcus Cousins trade net? Nothing. They lost DeMarcus Cousins to the Lakers for $5 million. And I know, you know, it didn't necessarily, you know, him and DeMarcus playing together didn't necessarily net a whole lot of victories, or didn't necessarily think – did anybody think they were going to beat Golden State? I didn't. You know what I mean? I did. I'll take that back. They played a little bit better than expected. They – last year, because they beat Portland last year. But, you know, they got – they met a buzzsaw in Golden State. And, I just don't know if Marcus Cousins would have helped them to win another game. Definitely not the series. Definitely not necessarily stretching the seven. But it didn't net them anything, because they didn't re-sign DeMarcus. They traded all the way to that talent and a lottery pick, another first rounder, excuse me, and they got DeMarcus Cousins on a rental, and it didn't transfer into nothing. So, again, they'll be set up pretty good, because they'll still, like, after when the draft starts coming in, and, you know, we go through that whole who's coming down, who's staying, or whatever, and then we'll get the, you know, the selection of, like, where the Knicks in Cleveland are picking, or where whoever else is in the lottery is picking. Because technically, the Lakers have a 1/14th chance of getting the number one overall pick.
Oh,
1/14th pick. or something crazy. They have somebody else's compensatory pick from one of those trades they did. So it's lottery protected. They don't have enough balls to get into the top two. It's virtually impossible, but there's a chance. But they won't. But it'll be interesting to see how Dale Demps handles, like, the moves, the trading after the draft. We'll know where Anthony Davis. We'll have a clear cut picture of where Anthony Davis is going.
Okay. Well, that's a bow on the Anthony Davis situation. Let's continue our Lakers talk real quick. After the blowout to Indiana, they then traveled and played the Celtics in Boston, which had the recipe for another disaster, and turned around. They ended up beating the Celtics on a Rajon Rondo last-second jumper. Did not see that coming. I will definitely say that myself. And the Celtics are slipping. They just lost to the Wizards, or was it the Wizards? Yeah. They lost by somebody. They were up by 24 points.
They lost to the Clippers.
Clippers, that's what it was. Yeah.
I know you can't, but name me one player on the Clippers. I know you can't. I'm saying they don't. Yeah. You know, they don't. They trade away everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like Boston has some trust issues on the floor.
Is there a chance Brad Stevens could, I hate to say it, lose his job soon? Like, not soon this year, but maybe in a year or two if things aren't?
Nah, because when you look at the equation, Brandon, I know Kyrie Irving is saying the right thing, but when he was gone all those games last year, and I think he's going to be out a couple games this year because a couple going further because he's dealing with the same, you know, tricky knee that he has.
Right.
But and he's looking at a contract, so you know he ain't trying to get hurt. So hell, he's down, you know what I'm saying?
Is he worth a max contract right now? If you were the general manager, would you offer him a max contract even with his injury concerns?
I'm not saying I would have traded for Kyrie Irving because that was an upgrade from what they gave up. But I know I'm gonna get in trouble because I know there's a lot of Kyrie Irving fans that listen to Crossroads. He's too, for me, cause, but then people will say, hey, man, well, you're going to let Rozier be the starter? You're going to let, you know, Smart be the starter? You know, like, you know, but not necessarily, I mean, that's not necessarily, then we go find us a guard. We go find us a lead guard. That's what the case is, you know what I'm saying? But because the nature, he is a great shot maker. He also is very ball dominant. But like I said, he's a great shot maker, and it's not necessarily like James Harden, ball dominance or shot making abilities, but he, you know, he's in rarefied air when it comes to. But like the leader, oh man, I'm not questioning his leadership capability, but I couldn't give him a max contract because I don't necessarily know he's kind of got that Chris Paul thing going on. You know what I mean? Play 20, 40 games, and then next thing you know, we're out 3 months because something's broke or something's, you know, bruised or something needs to be repaired or whatever. So I would be hard pressed to give him a max deal.
Okay. So let's go into the trades. And based on all the trades that you've seen, because there was a ton of them, which one do you feel was the best trade and what team got out the, ended up being the best after the trade? If that makes sense.
If that makes sense.
Because then I'll give you mine after you give yours.
Gotcha. I have yet to see the Toronto Raptors, but I remember the Toronto Raptors left last year, and they just needed like a layup, the tip in, to beat Cleveland, and they couldn't get it. You know what I mean? And now they got an upgrade. They basically traded Valanciunas for Gasol. You know, I mean, and I got mad respect. I do respect Valanciunas' game. You know what I'm saying? He's a hard-nosed, tough guy. It's seemingly, you know what I mean? He's always – he's always tops in, I do believe in offensive efficiency, like, you know, as far as like where he takes shot selections, all that, you know, all those numerous numbers and whatnot. And he's a good team guy, but Gasol is an all-star. I think the Raptors, because they didn't give up a whole lot, you know what I'm saying? The Raptors in Philadelphia are the winners of all the trades.
Absolutely. I think Philly, for sure. They look tough today.
They did, and because today's Sunday, and, the Lakers look tough, too, but Philadelphia look tougher, right? I just worry about a matchup problem for them, how they're going to match up against a team that has depth, like Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Philadelphia against the Pacers without Vic. You know what I'm saying? Tell you what, even that, that's going to be – I think that the athleticism would give the Pacers a problem at certain positions, but our depth, we got a better bench. You know what I mean?
Better than Toronto, yes. I don't know about Philly now. I don't know. John, they're tough. I don't know if it's just because I watched them today, but my God.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, I they are tough, but just remember that who's the leader of the team? See, long pause.
Very long pause.
And I asked that on purpose. There was a long pause there. Who's the leader of the team?
I could give you the name. I couldn't give you a name. Brett Brown? I don't know.
I mean, yeah, sure. And we know, I mean, you know, basketball aficionados know him to be an understudy Popovich. But until you, you know, I mean,
if I had to choose one, it'd be Embiid. But I almost think he's too immature to be a leader of the team.
Correct. He has.
Maybe he's the voice.
Who?
He's the voice of the team. I would feel like he's the speaker.
He is the voice. But let's say they're in a close game, they need three. Are we going to him?
Jimmy Butler.
But then Embiid's going to get pissed.
Well, is it more about winning games or?
Dude, they're going to have a – where are they right now? Fourth or second? No,
They're second. Because Pacers are third still.
Okay, that's right. Well, again, like I said, I question them when they match up against their second-round opponent. Anybody who's got depth, they're going to have a time.
All right. February 10th, who's your – as of right now, if you were gun to the head, who's winning the East?
Oh, man. Boston. They'll figure it out.
Okay.
Even without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I did like LeBron's quote, and he's not wrong. It's like an arms race now in the East to try to get there, all because LeBron's not there. I mean, he's not wrong when he said that quote.
But you know, there's a lot of LeBron effect that I could probably write a little essay on of why certain things. But yeah, it's definitely LeBron effect there.
Do you have a problem with Magic Johnson coming out saying that he wants to work with Ben Simmons this summer? Because isn't that pretty much just tampering? I mean, come on. How does the NBA not see it?
Right, as he's the general manager or the part owner of the Lakers, right, yeah. He'll probably get fined another $75,000, $50,000. But until those fines become something a little bit more hard-hitting, either to the organization or to the individual, people are still going to – pretend Jackie Paper tamper, right? So here's the, you know what, Brandon? Here's the thing. Here's the difference. Here's the ideological difference between the NBA of now, besides how they play offense and defense or whatever, right? The ideological difference of the NBA now versus then is we all thought that Adam Silver was going to be an acolyte just like David Stern. He's actually, as far as managing the money, he's that. But as far as like anything else, it's drastically opposite. David Stern would have kept everything to the chest. All that talk about I want to be traded and the talk of who wants to go where, and like, he wouldn't have had that. Like, I'm not saying those things didn't happen. They're on his watch, but, dude, that's not going to hit the media. He was a master controller of players funneling information to the media. Like, what information the NBA want to funnel to the media? Because a lot of times, like, you know, that if certain things get out wrong, somebody can take it the wrong way. You know what I mean? Because there's the sense of entitlement. Brandon, have you ever been to New Orleans?
Yes.
Of New Orleans?
Yes.
Is it not a nice place to be, to live? If you're a millionaire, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, then make a superstar who just signed his agreement a year and a half ago says it's not a nice place.
I don't know, John. I was down there for a month for work, and I was ready to go after the first, like, 5 days.
Well, you must have been going during Mardi Gras.
I was after Mardi Gras. I was after Mardi Gras all the way to Jazz Fest, and it was not. It's nice. I like the culture. I think it's great to visit all the places. The problem I have is that it's dirty.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of trash everywhere, and it's too
dirty.
I don't know. I felt too cramped in New Orleans. That was my thing. I felt too cramped.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, like, the sense of entitlement guys have when they come to these cities and these millionaires give them $1 million checks and then they say, oh, well, I don't want to play here anymore. You know what I mean? It just leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. Okay? But like I said, Adam Silver embraces it. He embraces the more information is out there. If it's ESPN, if it's Fox, if it's Crossroads Sports, right, to pat ourselves on the back, if it's Twitter, the better – as long as the dudes aren't saying throwing F-bombs at one another and totally disrespecting one, he's all for it. That's why he made the draft, the All-Star draft, public. He's all for it. Brandon. The NFL is still American football is still the number one sport in this country. But who grabs the headlines? I didn't watch one Super Bowl interview during the week of Super Bowl because all I was watching, all I was answering on my phone or on Twitter or talking with you or whomever else I work with, you know what I mean, because now I'm that guy to talk sports, right, is NBA trades. And where was Tim Hardaway going? Where, or maybe they're going to trade Wiggins because his performance, you know what I mean, so on, whatever trade rumors, I mean, you kind of sniff out and try to see what's real. But they snatch headlines from the NFL. And then now the NBA season, we said this before, it's a year-long thing now. They might have a month off, but now it's a year-long thing. Between the NBA, the regular league, the playoffs, and summer league, and the draft. It's a year-long thing now, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So, but like I said, the NBA that we have right now is to blame. It's a player. It's always been a players' league, and like I said, Adam Silver likes to see these things play out on TV now.
Okay. Speaking of tampering, I thought it was very interesting on Thursday night. I watched the draft selections between LeBron and Giannis, and I'm just going to name off these six players. And it's LeBron James's first six All-Star picks. And John, they five of the six all have one thing in common. I'll blade them off. Kevin Durant, player option. Kyrie Irving, player option. Kawhi Leonard, player option. James Harden, under contract. Anthony Davis, requested trade. Klay Thompson, free agent. Boy, if that ain't going to be tampering and recruitment during All-Star break, I don't know what it is.
Brandon.
Stop it.
I cannot see Kevin Durant playing with LeBron James.
I don't either, but...
Even though he passed out this past week, when they asked him, what's going on, Kevin? Are you going to, you know what I mean? Because I think he's going to play somewhere else.
He is soft. Sure. Like, he's great on the court, but that dude is so mentally... I don't think he can play in New York. The media will eat him alive.
So you're going to have a Randy Johnson situation? He'd be walking where he goes to New York and he spazzes out on the top of Rossi. Why are you following? You know what I mean?
He does it so much.
Yeah, and the Twitter ghost account, man, you know, it doesn't play well to, like, his not claim not being soft. But I got into an argument. I try not to get into arguments with people. But they, you know, some people just automatically assume that he's going to re-sign with Golden State and take another pay cut. And I'm like, dude, man, he already took a pay cut, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
How many $200 million contracts can you turn down? You can't.
So, I know I wouldn't.
Unless Golden State is going to offer him $200 million, or 1 year deal for $39 or $40 million. But then they'd have to jettison some players. And, again, that's not going to happen because that team is kind of loyal to some of its players. And I think Klay Thompson gets the contract first that he desires with Golden State.
Okay.
Kevin Durant won't do it with the Golden State Warriors.
Microwave going off. Food's ready. Well, I mean, speaking of burner accounts, I mean, I feel like Jonathan Birdsong's got a burner account out there on Twitter.
Oh, I try to teach people, man.
I mean, yeah. I would say, I mean, I could go the original, the OG Grimlock.
that was 100 years ago. But yeah, no.
Oh, people, man.
Yeah, I try to teach people, man. Obviously,
hey, that's...
The NBA, and I studied that at a long... You know, a lot of... Many, many, many years ago, he had a daydream in class, you know what I mean?
Oh, all the time.
So, like, you know, I was somewhat of a slacker at Ball State University, believe it or not, you know what I mean? And I'm an English major, so most of my classes were a breeze to me. So during those times where the teacher be talking about some middle English dead guy in the Canterbury Tales or whatever, I'd be putting together my draft and, like, who would I draft and all this stuff, you know what I mean? I ain't new to this.
Oh, yeah.
So, So yeah, I kind of, I mean, it's my thing, man. And like when I when a lot of years you don't see these type of trades, you know what I mean, go down. But you know, now guys are cognitive of their time, and like everybody's not necessarily sensitive. Everybody wants to win, and I think that's why we had a lot of movement this year.
Okay. Well, you love to teach people, and you love to talk to basketball. You love teaching, speaking the truth. So that's why I've got you a new nickname now, and I hope it sticks with the Crossroads community. I think your new nickname is going to be the Reverend, because you love teaching people. The Rev or the Reverend?
The Reverend, Professor. I've been called Professor.
Oh, yeah, the Reverend.
I'll go for that, man. I'll go for that.
Oh, yeah, you love teaching people. Ladies and gentlemen, Crossroads Sports now, the Reverend John Birdsong. That's what we're going to have. So, speaking of somebody that may need Jesus and may need it deep, can we talk about LeVar Ball? Can we just...
Yeah, I
John,
I prefer that, man.
I'm sitting on my couch, and I'm flipping through the channels.
Well, you watch the Big anyway, so that was a mistake.
Well, you know, I flip through the sports talk shows because I can only handle one of them for about 15 minutes, and I flip to the other, and I flip back. And they got LeVar on. He's making his Fox Sports runs through all the shows. And Shannon Sharp, who I already can't stand too much in his loud, boisterous voice he has, and he says, well, I want you to know, LeVar, that there's a guy on that team that, you know, is better than Melo or Lonzo. And... I started laughing. LeVar Ball honestly believes that his son is better than LeBron James. Now, I understand supporting your son, but John, come on. I watched it seven times. I watched that 15-minute clip seven times.
Well,
like,
I'm sure the folks over at Box are happy that you watched that.
What's your thoughts on this? I've been waiting all week for your comments.
Man, you know, I'm a big family guy, and not Peter Griffin style. But I like his thought process of wanting to start his own brand and wanting to, you know what I'm saying, his sons are the greatest basketball players in the world. But there is, you know, there's seemingly some way to go about it, and he's not the right way, and he's not necessarily gone about it the right way. It's obvious that he loves his son, but he needs to not interject himself into his son's career. It's going to mess around and ruin it. Like, what happened to the other son? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of fell off the face. I don't want to go into, like, where NBA scouts had them projected because sometimes the scouts, I don't believe them. But as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, making a career out of basketball, you don't necessarily always have to be the star guy, the all-star. You might end up being a coach. You might end up being an AD. You might end up being, you know, the stat guy. You might end up being a working color commentary. I know plenty of former college players and professional players are working color commentary jobs and getting fat checks for doing it. So with all that being said, you know, Shannon Sharp winds him, you know, gave him a question to like wind him up, and then there you go. But Brandon, reading the tea leaves, they're going to trade Lonzo in the summer. Lonzo is a good player. Lonzo should have been, and he was number two pick. I wouldn't necessarily pick him at number two. I thought he was the fourth best player in that draft. I think he should have went, I don't know, and I can't remember who picked fourth, but I think he should have been the fourth best pick. The Lakers picked him because of his area, because he's from California and, you know, he went to UCLA. That's where they picked him. I don't think the Lakers did their due diligence, whoever scouted him, whether it be Magic Johnson or Palinka, they didn't do their due diligence on all the other players. Because they would have went to another direction, whether it had been Fox or Jason Tatum. He needs to go somewhere else. He kind of really does at this point, because they have LeBron and they're trying to build a championship team right now. And I think Lonzo would be an exciting player with another team where he could learn you know what I mean, learn how to make mistakes and learn how to – I mean, he's got to figure out – he's still got to figure out his jump shot. But he's a walking, talking triple-double. When he gets the time to play, he passes better. I don't think he passes like Magic Johnson, and he rebounds. You know what I'm saying? Like better than I'm trying to think. He rebounds almost. Well, maybe not as athletic as Russell Westbrook, but he noses out rebounds like that.
He can't
like
shoot.
But he gets. Like I said, there's an argument to have him on the floor if you're a budding team. As a starter, okay. That's what I'm trying to say. As a starter, there's an argument to have him on the floor. But yes, he cannot. His game. He's not a shooter at all.
Is he better than LeBron?
Man, you asked me that question. That's ridiculous. Absolutely not. He ain't even better than LeBron.
I'm just asking. That's all I'm doing.
No,
he's
20 something. He's at his age. Like you know, it'd be different if we saw Penny Hardaway and he could shoot. You know what I mean? Like he can get 20 in his sleep. And he did all the other things I said. He could pass and he could rebound and, you know what I'm saying, he could defend. But he can't. He can do all those other things, but he can't shoot. And he's not Penny Hardaway offensively. I mean, you know what I'm saying? On his best night, he can get 17. You know what I mean? You can depend him on, you know, on his best night. But not better than LeBron, no. But they bring out LeVar to you know, to rattle people's cages.
It's probably also for ratings is why he's saying all that shit, and Shannon's getting him riled up for it, and you know, I like Skip said, you lost me there.
I don't know why a team, and maybe that's what my, I mean, shit, I'm not doing Magic Johnson's GM homework, scouting homework for him, man, or Pelinka. Like they need to call Memphis and ask them, you know, make a deal for Lonzo. Memphis or Orlando, they're trying to rebuild, you know what I'm saying, and try to get back into sniffing the playoffs. So I don't think they're not going to go from being out of the playoffs right as they have been like the last several years to number two or three or number one. But he needs to go somewhere else where he can excel. Phoenix is an option too, you know what I mean, I would think. But
I don't even think he's ever going to be an all-star. I don't think he'll ever be an all-star.
Okay.
I'll even say that his career, I will even say that Allen Houston has had a better career than what Lonzo Ball will ever have.
I know that's
two different types of players, but Allen Houston was an all-star twice, too.
Do you think he – okay, well, now you bring up the can – you open up a can of worms. I think he have as long a career as Darren Collison has had.
Lonzo?
He'll have a long – oh, yeah. Athletically, he can jump over Darren Collison.
Absolutely. He's probably a better passer.
Right.
Collison's got better shooting.
And he's worked on it. Right. Collison was still a better shooter coming out of college than that kid was. But I think he's got some stick to it. I think he'll stick around in the league. I think he's a 10-year guy.
Okay. Maybe a journeyman. He'll team to team.
Not a journeyman. He just needs to find another team where he can get the ball in his hands as well. They brought in LeBron James. You're not getting the ball, bro.
Well, according to LeVar, LeBron needs Melo or Lonzo more than Lonzo needs LeBron to win a championship.
Yeah, they need his upside to trade to bring in Bradley Beal or somebody.
Okay. Well, enough LeVar talk. I wanted to get a quick on him. Let's keep it local here. Let's go to the Indiana Pacers. Thursday, they made a interesting trade, which they initially took two players off of Houston's team, who's trying to get underneath the luxury salary. I thought it was Will Barton, but it's not Will Barton. I can't think of the guy's name. And Nick Stauskas. Yes, Baldwin Wade and Nick Stauskas. And then theoretically cut those players. And they got a second-round pick from Houston. So really, they said, I don't know what the deal was with Houston, but they got a free second-round pick for taking on two players just to free up a luxury tax. So while everybody else is playing checkers, Kevin Pritchard is playing chess. So it's
well, I don't know if that's chess. That might be backgammon.
It could be. But I thought Stauskas could have helped the team. I mean, he's a good three-point shooter.
He is a good 3-point shooter, but you, they're gonna bring a 4-point guard to this team.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I know the Patriots went on a little bit of a slide. But, you know, I mean, Victor, they won last game. Victor Oladipo was in, right, and they kind of went on a slide. Went on what, like a 4-game
yes.
slide. Now they've been on like a 3-game win streak.
5-game win streak now.
How many?
5 straight they've won.
Right. Sure, right. But that kind of erases that some of that nastiness of like where we were at, you know, about a week and a half ago. I watched yesterday. They had all 3 point guards on the floor playing together.
Ooh.
They had Corey Joseph. They had Collison. They had Holiday all playing together. And it was working. So I think maybe they – I know Don Nelson, if he was watching – Don Nelson, old Golden State, Golden State and Dallas Maverick coach, who was great for putting together crazy lineups. I know he was probably happy somewhere smiling, but I really think they just tried to get some gelling issues and try to figure out, because now you're asking somebody else to be all right. You're going to take more shots, whoever it might be, Sabonis, Holiday. I know Leaf has been getting burned. I know you know what I'm saying. Now you're asking them to do more when, at the beginning of the season, you probably told them, hey, this is where you're going to be, this is where your shots going to be, this is where your minutes going to be. I think the Pacers as a unit just had to figure out how to understand that Victor Oladipo wasn't going to be there no more for the rest of this remaining year, and they just kind of had to figure out how to play. It also helped play some, I'm not going to say inferior talent, but it also helped some teams that were kind of in transition.
Oh, yeah, they're in a good spot right now playing the schedule that they're playing. So, and I was wrong. I'll recant my statement earlier. Philadelphia is actually 4th, right behind Indiana by a half a game. It's Milwaukee, Toronto, Indiana. So Philly is number 4. So sorry about that. I was wrong. With the Pacers, they made a signing today. It was official after the Knicks bought out Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews is now officially an Indiana Pacer. He practiced today. Matthews has a lot of strong ties with actual Pacers right now. If you think about it, Nate McMillan in Portland, Kevin Pritchard in Portland, Peter Dinwiddie also from Portland was there with Wesley Matthews. So, and he knows quite a bit of the players. He practiced with Miles Turner over the summer. He practiced with Sabonis. What's your thoughts on the Wesley Matthews signing? I really liked it. I think he could add that spark for Indiana that they're going to miss with Depot. And also can put Tyreek back onto that second unit, so he's not out of sync with the first group. My thoughts.
He's familiar with the system, familiar with the general manager and the coach played in the system. I expect it to be somewhat seamless. He comes in. The reason why he's been kind of passed around so much is because he's been battling knee. He's older and he's been battling knee issues for a while. But he's physically ready to go. He hadn't had any injury issues this year. It's just that you don't want to at his advanced age. I'm not saying he's 40, right? But at his age, you don't want to. You're not out here trying to run with the Sacramento Kings, or you're not out here trying to run with the Atlanta Hawks. Those are teams that are developing. He's kind of at least playing in some games that mean something. Mm-hmm. So for him come to the Pacers, it kind of makes sense. With his history,
uh-huh.
with Nate McMillan and Pritchard.
Okay, yeah. Wesley Matthews is 32.
He's not going to come in and everybody and drop 21. I mean, he might get a game where he gets 21, but he's not going to come in and average 21. No, he's going to come in.
Yeah, he was averaging 12 a game this season. He averages a career 13.8. I think if you get 15 to 16 from Wesley Matthews a night, I think that's perfect.
Dude, there was years ago that I remember, seeing him in Portland, and I was wondering, are the Pacers going to trade for him? When he was younger, I wondered what the Pacers were going to trade for him or who was going to trade for him. He had that kind of – at the small forward position, small forward wing guard position, he had that kind of you could see where he could add value to your team. He's always been, between 12 and 15 points a game kind of guy consistently. Like I said, it's good that he's on with the Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next one, let's talk about Paul George. Paul George right now is having an MVP-like performance. You have to be thinking about him for MVP. He's averaging 28.3 points a game this year. That's up 7 points from last season. It is a career-high best. He's shooting lights out from the field as well. He's shooting 40% from three. I hate to say it, but I mean, I watched Paul George last night. He was balling out against Houston. So you have to think about Paul George.
Yeah, he had another big game. I want to say a couple weeks ago we had like 40, I thought. I can't remember who was against. I have Paul George on my list in front of me as third for in the MVP race. I got Giannis as number one. Paul George, you know, that whole it's you know what's weird, Brandon, is that Oklahoma, the people that run Oklahoma are great team builders. They just are. They seemingly life after the, think about this in juxtaposition. Life after LeBron, every time a superstar leaves, whether it's Kevin Durant, Kevin Garnett, Charles Barkley, or LeBron James, that team usually becomes like a ghost town to win. Like there's no more winning after they leave. There's a drought, right? Mm-hmm. When has there ever been a drought? I know they haven't got back to the finals. I get that, Crossroads folks. But when has there ever been a drought as it comes to wins and losses in Oklahoma? Like every year they figure out a way to, hit the restart button. I know we're always critical of Westbrook and his shooting and his playmaking ability or decision making. We're always critical of Billy Donovan and his coaching and his rotations. But the organization has lost. Think about who they lost from the final. They lost Kevin Durant. They lost Serge Ibaka. They lost James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still. I mean, I know they fired Paul George, but
they retired his jersey.
Say what now?
I said Nick Collison. They retired his jersey even.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Nick Collison. Try throwing me off with mention the Kansas player, dude. But no. man, like they're great team builders. So I think that's, Paul George, his exit out of Indiana wasn't gracious by any realm of the imagination. And then a lot of people were kind of like over the summer when he resigned with Westbrook over LeBron and Magic Johnson, it was kind of like a head scratcher. He went on Jimmy Kimmel and said he didn't get offered, which I mean basically means he by either A, he didn't get offered what he thought he was going to get, or C or B, he was scared to deal with life after LeBron, or if LeBron wants to have a reset. I mean, didn't Cleveland when LeBron played there last year? Didn't they have this same drama issue where the team was like over there and LeBron was like over here on different odds before the trade? Then they trade, then they send, they get Rodney Hood and they get whoever else. I can't remember who else. Oh, they get.
Yeah, they traded the whole damn team.
Right.
George Hill was brought in.
Right. Well, sometimes, man, as a player, whether you're Kyle Kuzma or Lonzo Ball or even Paul George, you don't want to have that, Only ain't certain people only got no trade. Everybody don't have a no trade clause. You know what I mean? So I think LeBron is, of course, one of them. I think Dirk Nowitzki is another one. But, I don't think Paul George wanted the pressure. Now, there's pressure playing in Oklahoma because Russell Westbrook, he wants to win and he wants to, hit every shot. He wants to hit every shot and make every right play and get all the rebounds. You know this, right? He's Mr. Triple-Double. But you got to tip your hat to Paul. I never had no ill will towards Paul George. I know the business. He didn't trust the Pacers as an organizational builder. That's what I'm trying to get to. Oklahoma's a little bit better in that than the Pacers have been. I think Larry Bird picks with his heart or did a lot of moves with his heart, and a lot of that stuff worked out. And I think Oklahoma looks at more than just heart. They look at analytics. They look at fit. They look at can these players play together.
Okay. Interesting. I would like to say that this way that Paul George is playing now, I would like to say maybe that I'm enjoying it, but as a personality and as people have seen me with Crossroads and with the jersey burnings, And with my whole rant about Paul George, I will not do it for the Crossroads Sports people. Off the air, you never know. You never know. I may say, hey, you know what, Paul George is balling it out. But on air personality, it's personal, what he did to this team that I'll never forgive him for. But it could be a hell of a lot worse. It could be the whole Anthony Davis saga, but with Paul George, you know.
Right.
So I'm starting to lose my anger towards Paul George year after year. So probably in 2 years, it'll be completely gone. He keeps balling. Right. I'll be thinking, damn, man, what could he have done this for the Pacers? What could have been? I mean, all those damn commercials, him shooting that three-pointer, saying ball game. Hell, he couldn't even do it when he was in Indiana. So,
no,
so speaking of the MVP race, you said Paul George is number three. Give me your list that you got right now as candidate-wise. Giannis at number one?
Giannis number one, James Harden, just because he took the team from nothing. They were out of the playoffs to now fifth in the West. As crazy and awkwardly as his jump shot and like how they win games, I got him second.
Okay. And then you got Paul three?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll give you mine because I did get mine. I saw during your post for the radio show tonight you want to talk NBA, so I went in and started writing my own little things down for it as well. I get some of my topics based on what you put on there as well, so I know what kind of direction you want to go. So my MVP candidates, I got five. I got a list of top five. Number one, unanimous, Giannis as well. I think Giannis is probably going to end up winning it in the end. So. But Giannis, number one. I've got James Harden, number two, on that list. I've got Paul George at three. I have Joel Embiid at four for the Sixers. And I also have, number five, Jokic from Denver, the way they've been playing.
Man,
Jokic's having a
hell of
a team.
He's got
game
on him, bro. He's got some game.
I thought you were mad against that pick. I was like, what? I mean, the gentleman's averaging 20 points a game, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists per game. So, I mean, the guy's – he's doing it for Denver.
Yeah, hopefully when he's a free agent, he can do it for the Pacers.
Ooh. But I love the fact that neither one of us have Durant or Curry or Kawhi or even Russell Westbrook, none of them on the list.
Man, they – Golden State Warriors are on cruise control. They're going to argue amongst one another. They're going to go through this season, and they're going to win the title, and they're all going to break up. It'll be a big, happy breakup. They're all going their separate ways. Well, not all of them go their separate ways, but, no, they're not deserving. And LeBron's not deserving of it either. He spent too much time out with the nursing the groin issue and playing general manager with Magic Johnson and stirring the pot. So, no, he doesn't deserve it.
Okay. All right, that's going to be – anything else NBA-related you want to finish up on tonight?
Man, just, you know, Rajon Rondo hitting that game winner, man. It is sort of – it was sort of a little different. I don't want to say it's surreal, you know what I'm saying, with him. He's not played in the Boston uniform for a long time, but him hitting the game winner for the Lakers.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget how good Rajon Rondo because of his immaturity and his attitude. He's got passed around through the league from Dallas to Sacramento and everywhere else. I remember talking to you back when we used to work for, you know, saying Turn on the Fun, how we thought about getting Rajon Rondo when he was kind of he was on his way out in Boston. But Rajon Rondo is going through somewhat of a he's always been a high level basketball player. Highly talented. He maybe not didn't have the offensive game with Derrick Rose or Steve Nash, but he can play point guard just as good as both of them. So I hope it works out in L.A. Looks like it is. Him and Brian hitting off. Yeah, they was at the Virginia game scouting.
Yeah. Now, am I wrong? Wasn't there like beef with Rajon and LeBron back in the day when it was Cleveland and Boston, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't necessarily think it was. Well, it was, the Boston Celtics didn't, you know, they during that time it wasn't him though solely. It was just, you know, them against. You know, nah, it wasn't.
Maybe it was the Lakers. Maybe it was Rondo against the Lakers. Maybe that's what it was.
That's probable. I know he's got some issues with Draymond.
Yeah, I know we can go a minute for that. Okay. Before we go to college basketball, I do want to let's talk a little Alliance of American Football League that debuted last night real quick. I don't know if you've caught any of the games last night that was on CBS, two national televised games, a new league developed by Bill Polian and Ebersol from NBC, his son. Also, Hines Ward's in it. A lot of NFL people are in this, coaches, GMs, personnel, building this league to hopefully be the feeder league for the NFL in the future, a development league, a second chance league for players who either just missed the draft or things didn't pan out right the first time around the NFL. I had expectations like the XFL, which we're going to see next year, and watching the game yesterday and then watching some of the highlights from today's games, I think this league has a shot. I liked it. There's eight teams in this league. The championship, they play a 10-game schedule. Championship will be down to four teams, and then playoffs like that. There are some key rule changes that differentiates them from the NFL. And give me a second to pull this up here. So a couple of those. There's no kickoffs or extra point kicks. Possessions begin at their own 25-yard line, and they must attempt two-point conversions, onside conversion. Fourth and 12 from their own 28. Must be down by 17 points or more or trail with 5 minutes or less in the fourth quarter. That one never hasn't played out yet, so I'm not sure how that's going to go. That one confuses me. Sky Judge corrects oblivious or obvious and irregular errors. I knew New Orleans Saints fans are going to love that. And right. Then overtime is one possession for each team from the opponent's 10-yard line. Regular season games can end in a tie. Playoff games obviously cannot. I like it. I think it could be good for development for the NFL. Plus, I think the NFL, before they just go to straight rule changes, they can implement some of those and see how it works in this league and if it'll actually be beneficial for them. And, John, here's the key factor. The game time is about 2 hours. They're cutting out commercials. It's about a 30-second commercial, and they're back playing again. I love it.
You love it. Well, it sounds like you love it. I didn't watch.
Hey, I'm trying to prop it.
I didn't watch not 10 minutes of it.
I
watched not 10 seconds. Matter of fact, I watched Jericho and what's the homie that the WWE won't hire?
Kenny Omega.
I watched their fake stage fight for the A&E Elite pay-per-view supposed to come up.
You're all in, aren't you? You're all in on AEW.
I'm all in. But I know they had pretty good ratings yesterday for the games that they show. I don't know about a feeder league. It could be I didn't make it to the NFL. You know what I mean? That could be that kind of league. The Sky Judge made me raise my eyebrow. I like the idea, but also makes me think about American Gladiators for some reason. Like, it makes me think of the campiness of the
I will tell you this. They used it yesterday, and what I really like about it is you've always wondered what goes on during a challenge, right? You're just seeing all these replays. You're like, God, what the hell is taking so long? So what they do with this league, they actually show the camera guy of the judge up in the press box. He's got all the cameras. He's got everything around. You actually get to see him, what all he's doing, going through it. You get to hear him. So as he's talking with the referees, him talking over with the rest of the staff, and then what he tells the referee, okay, it's going to be we have decided it's an incomplete pass. This is what it was. Yada, yada, foot out of bounds, 1 foot down, no possession of the ball. The clock is going to be reset to such and such, and it'll be my ball back on the 42-yard line. It was interesting to see that aspect, which I think is great that you don't get to see that in the NFL too much because it's not behind the curtain. But the look of the guy, I told a buddy of mine today, I said, it looked like a casino pit boss was what you were watching up there. He was dressed in all black suit. He knew he was going to be on. So it looked like a casino, but I like that style of it. I like what they did.
Gotcha. I'll have to catch it. It'll have to get in my wheelhouse, check for the scores. See, I know Spurrier is one of the coaches. I know Mike Marks, crazy Mike Marks. There's also another coach in the league,
And Mike Singletary.
oh wow, I want he wants winners. Right, well, hopefully he got some wherever he's posting that.
I think they won today, actually, too. I think they did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. It'd probably pull. Oh my God! Can you imagine? I hope they don't. I hope Tim Tebow don't get a whiff.
No. Tebow's not in it. Tebow's playing baseball. I will tell you who got a whiff of it and played today for Birmingham Irons. Pretty much a Alabama and Auburn feeder team. Pretty much it seemed like, but this gentleman had 26 rushes for 89 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He ain't coming back to the NFL.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he used to play for the Colts.
Who else did he play for?
The Browns.
Trent Richardson, baby. Trent, the Iron Man Richardson. He's coming back.
I should have said Bama.
yeah. I like it. Second shot.
It remains to be seen. This league, you know, it remains to be seen.
You'll think about it like the XFL.
They'll have to at some point though, Brandon. At some point, they'll have to get a name to come over. Like you remember how back in the day, Lex Luger and Sting would lead, or like Lex Luger would lead the WWF and show up on WCW programming. Like they have to. Uh-huh. Somebody has to come over. So I wonder. Kyler Murray is coming to the NFL Combine this year. He said he was.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he said he's football crazy, and if this is on the if this league is on this upward peak, he doesn't seem to be baseball crazy, and baseball will try to woo him. I wonder will he go over? I know, right? Be
okay.
Interesting. If he doesn't, I think if he ain't. Because everybody's going crazy if he ain't tall enough. If this dude comes out to be shorter than 5'8", I think his chances of getting drafted, because I know you look at Tom Shea's report or whoever else, they got him in the top 5. That's based off playing against other college kids. That ain't playing against, you know. But and I don't put a whole lot into the NFL Combine except for like when they. Measure you out, like how tall you are. And I do kind of like weird out about when they say how, you know, when they measure dudes' fingers, like from their tip of the top of their finger to the middle part, like, you know, Chris Webber in the NBA deal got, you know, those guys got fingers that's longer than your, sometimes almost longer than your leg, like the bottom part of your leg, you know what I mean? Seemingly.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting if a named guy either maybe gets. Go up with this, Brandon. What if a name guy like Josh Gordon, who's on the Alpha NFL, goes over? He's still talented. I know he's got demons or whatever, but he's still talented. What if a name guy? I mean, that's what they're gonna have at some point. They're gonna have to get a name guy because developmental league, man. That's what the NCAA is for.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but to be seen. I'll be interested on your take once you see a game or two, if you catch it this year. Okay, we got about 30 minutes left. Going in real quick to college basketball, the NCAA committee this weekend announced their top 16 seeds right now if the season would end. So of the four regions, they had Gonzaga, Virginia, Tennessee, and number one overall, Duke. Their two seeds were Michigan State, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Michigan. Kansas, Houston, Purdue Boilermakers, and Marquette were the threes. Louisville, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Iowa State were the four. If you didn't catch all those, go to the Crossroads site or even go to ESPN. They'll have them up there for you. Crossroads Sports, Nick Peterson and myself going through our own brackets. We did 14 of the 16 teams that they listed. The only two that we missed on as Crossroads was Houston and Marquette. Those are the only two that we missed upon with our unveiling. So not too bad start so far. Just looking at that, I feel like they're right with Duke being the number one overall seed. I think they proved it last night when they easily dispatched Virginia with the sweep. Tennessee does look like a strong number two overall. I have a hard time believing Gonzaga is better than Kentucky. But overall, but the way the seedings are, You can't have the second, the best number two seed cannot be matched up with the best number one overall seed. So that's why they're in different regions with that. Now, yes, Gonzaga is going to have an easier schedule. We talked about San Francisco, the Dons, how good they were, and we're going up. Gonzaga beat them by 30. And destroyed them. And then Gonzaga won last night against St. Mary's very easily. As I saw Bill Walton eating a cupcake with the candle lit still. That was interesting to see. But I do like the rankings the way they have them. The committee, I do have some notes from Nick of what he thought of the release. So I'll read some of those. He agrees with the top two lines with some slight exceptions to the region selection. Virginia and Tennessee should have been the top two overall seeds, he felt like, thus slotting Virginia in the East and moving Duke to the Midwest. Virginia's only loss at that time before the Yale game last night was a 2-point loss at Cameron Indoor for that. In his opinion, the best number two seed should get preferential treatment in the opponent, not necessarily the region. Think of it this way. If I'm the fifth overall team, which number one seed would I prefer to be paired with? In this case, it's Kentucky. If Kentucky send me out west to deal with Gonzaga as opposed to Virginia or Duke, since they can't be paired with SEC rival Tennessee either. So they should be able to decide where they want to go. Nick's biggest issue with the committee's first reveal was where were the 19-5 now reigning national champions? He understands that Villanova has two bad losses and a blowout loss to Michigan, but you can't convince me that they're not among the top 16 teams in the country, which is true. They lost a heartbreaker yesterday to number 10 Marquette, which was crazy. It was a great game. Another thing is Houston. What?
I said it was. I watched it.
Yeah. Is Houston for real? As I said, the committee had Houston as a three seed in the Midwest. We did not have them in our bracket. Is Houston for real? Currently, they're ranked number 7 in the net. The committee apparently loves themselves some Cougars, which at their age honestly seems kind of gross, but I digress, he says. Maybe some anti-Sampson bias, but if I'm being honest, I just don't see it. Wins over LSU, an overrated team, Utah State and UCF equals a yawn. And his final thought, clearly, the committee is going to be putting a lot of stock in the new net rankings. Something to keep an eye on in some of these future Crossroads Sports bracket updates. So, that was good. It was good. Good effort there by Nick, and good insight there. Let's talk about some of the games from the weekend. We talked a little about Duke and Virginia. Duke obviously just head and tails over better than the Virginia easily. Dispatched them pretty easily yesterday. I still believe Duke's going to win the national championship. Virginia, I have no faith in Virginia ever. Never have in any year.
Oh man, the shade you throw is Virginia, and I know.
I'm sorry, Virginia fans.
It's right when they get that shade, but especially after last year. I watched a ton of college basketball yesterday and a couple of Saturdays before that, man. I still think that even though there's the blue blood Duke is there, you know what I'm saying, or even Tennessee, believe it or not. I know, crazy thing about Tennessee, you can get to the Final Four, if not the final, you know, like the Final Two game. Because they are tough and they are good. There's about six teams that can, I think, legitimately win the Final Four this year.
Yep. Nick said 7, so yeah, you're about right.
Yeah, I think there's about six teams that can win. So what game you want to talk about? So what other game? I watched Howard, the kid from Marquette, light it up.
Yeah, Villanova game. Villanova came back.
Villanova. Again, you said they top 16. They should be a top. Oh man, I don't know how you could. I know it's a heartbreaker. I don't know how you couldn't put Villanova the way they play in the top 10. They're going to win the Big East. You know, I watched Butler grit out a victory on the road.
Georgetown.
And
that was one they needed. That was season altering.
It was. And technically, Georgetown needed it too. But I think the way Butler's playing, I know it's kind of up and down for some folks' taste around here. I think we talked about having him on the bubble. I think they get in. They'll win a Big East game in the tournament, and they'll get in. I think. Some other games from around the area. I know I'm talking around IU. IU had a rough week playing Iowa, and then losing the day against Ohio State.
I didn't see any of that game. I was at work, but fill me in a little bit on that.
It was offensively a struggle the first half from what I watched. It boiled down to the same old thing. Langford and what's other kid, the senior, they had good games, and there's no other supporting cast from there's no you know nothing there's no scoring for sure from nobody else. So lost a close one at home. The Hoosiers are trending. I mean, the Hoosiers are trending. They're gonna have to win the Big Ten tournament to get into the tournament.
Yeah, I still think right now they're barely in, and it's life support in, as in they're in that one of those play-in games that we're going to have to be watching. But Joe Lunardi from ESPN, he has them as one of the first four out. It's a bad loss at home to Ohio State. Yes, five of their last eight games were at home. I said they needed to go 4-4. Nick even thought they needed to go 5-3 in those games. So there's still time, but it's running out on the Hoosiers.
But you know that the committees, they get real snobbish, or they have been real snobbish in the years. And if you got to squint, Bob Knight used to get them in. Bob Knight, you know those couple of cupcakes that he put on the schedule, would get them in. You know what I'm saying? And then his reputation would get them in. And Archie Miller obviously doesn't have that reputation. I don't know, Brandon. They don't have enough resume, and then they don't have enough oomph, and they're not playing connected. So if you had to squint to get them in, it's not just because it's Indiana, and you know they pack a house. Then I say don't put them in. They're not deserved. They don't deserve to be in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the Purdue Boilermakers last night, the other Indiana team, took on Nebraska. It was a close game at halftime. It was like a 3-point game or 4-point game. And then Carson Edwards, Grady Eifert, that Purdue defense. Purdue blows out Nebraska in the second half. Boilers now have won 9 straight, I believe.
Yeah. I worry about Carson Edwards falling in love with his jump shot, as if he was like Steph Curry. Like sometimes I'm like, dude, you're not even Seth Curry with your jump shot. Slow down, man. Him going to the rim, oh my God, he can get there. You know what I mean? But that jump shot, I'm like, whoa, man, sometimes.
he's shooting it from deep. He's shooting it from Indianapolis a few times.
Yeah, shooting from it. You know, God luck the Boilers, they don't have no excuse on they lose how many seniors? PJ Thompson, Haas.
Four seniors, starters.
Four seniors. Again, that's usually like a rebuild. And I don't even like using rebuild in college basketball terms, but Fred Glass up down the way in Bloomington said, that's crazy. He said the game before they beat Michigan State, they were in a rebuild. Then they beat Michigan State. Now I haven't heard any comments out of Fred Glass in Bloomington. So I don't know. But Purdue, they just got the culture, you know, and got a culture of win, got a culture of they're all bought into the Painter system. They got freshmen contributing. They got juniors contributing. And they're winning, you know what I mean? And I know Carson Edwards has, you know, his eyes on the NBA or, you know, trying to turn pro, you know, after this year or whatever. But they're going to be right there. What's their next game? Because I think they got a little bit of fire, baptism of fire coming up. They got some tough games coming up.
Tuesday they play at 6:30 at Maryland, number 24 Maryland. So that'll be a tough one. They have Penn State at home on Saturday. They won an overtime at Penn State, and then the following Tuesday they traveled to Indiana.
Oh wow! And you know, well, that's all. Well,
but this sets up Purdue very well for a Big Ten championship. And I'm not just saying that as a Purdue fan, folks, because I'm going to give you the rest of that schedule: at Maryland, home against Penn State, at Indiana, at Nebraska, home against Illinois, home against Ohio State, at Minnesota, at Northwestern. These are all winnable games for Purdue.
They will not win.
I'm not saying they will. They may run into that buzzsaw Tuesday. But you can't tell me any of these other teams scare you. Indiana,
no,
maybe, just because it's a rival. Minnesota.
It'll be bad news for IU because Purdue likes to blow. Like, they like to, when they play IU and they see IU limping, they like to kick them. And IU's limping. You said Iowa, that's going to be a tough game.
No. It's Maryland, Penn State, Indiana, Nebraska, okay. Illinois.
Ohio
State, and then they finish on the road two games at Minnesota, at Northwestern. One of those two possibly they could lose with it being senior night. I can see.
Not Northwestern. Yeah, maybe Northwestern. Not Minnesota.
Could be Minnesota. They're good. 16-8. So
yeah, Michigan State probably won't be. Michigan State's trending downward. I don't think they'll be. I don't think they finish as a 2 seed.
No, Minnesota. I mean, they've got some tough games. Michigan State's got tough ones. They play this Tuesday at Wisconsin. They play at Michigan, and they play Michigan twice still. So I'm telling you, it sets up well for Purdue because Michigan State got played two more times still.
If they beat
each other up, Purdue's sitting in that driver's seat. And nobody expected it, not even me this year, from this Purdue team.
No, nobody expected this. Nobody expected this Purdue to be this good at all. Not at all.
So it's just something to watch. Even if I look at Michigan's schedule, which looking ahead at Michigan, they've got at Penn State, and they got Maryland. Michigan's – okay, so they have Maryland twice, Michigan State twice, Nebraska, Minnesota, Penn State.
Yeah, they got a tougher schedule.
They have a very tough schedule. So am I right that it sets up kind of pretty well for Purdue?
You're right.
I mean, Boilermaker fans, 24 Big Ten titles possibly. Right now, Warren Nolan, which is the site that we tell everybody to go to because they do great stats and all that stuff. They put their projections on there, their predictions, and it's ball stat-based predictions. Right now, they're saying that the Big Ten is actually going to finish in a three-way tie at 16-4 in the conference. Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue all will go 16-4.
Mm-hmm.
The Boilermakers would finish 23-8. But a three-way tie for the Big Ten title. Hoosier fans, they've got you right now finishing 14-17. You're 13-11 right now, so you know what that's going to be. And finishing tied for 12th in the Big Ten. Rutgers beat you. That's where they have the Hoosiers right now. So, tell me the last time, John, you think you had an Indiana Hoosiers team that lost four games at home. Yeah, I don't know if you can name it.
That's probably maybe Tom Crean's first year.
Yeah. Yeah, just not taking care of when you got your games at home. And they've got, four of their next seven games are at home. So they've got to win these home games. Purdue, 12-0 at home, taking care of business. 14-game home winning streak dating back to last season. They have the third best. Here's a little stat nugget for you. Purdue has the third best home record in the nation in the last 5 years.
Wow.
The only teams that are ahead of them was Duke and Kansas when it comes to home court.
We're picking on IU, and it's because the culture there I do listen to snippets of Dan Doggett from time to time, and obviously he played at IU, and he goes on his tirades about IU and other things, right? But mostly about IU and his time there. And he's kind of right, dude. He's like, dude, they don't have the old mindset of You know what I'm saying? It's important about Indiana, not about what's the name on the back of the jersey. That's kind of what I use synonymous with and for even before Bob Knight, you know, the whole Knight era, which everybody's in love or, you know, enamored with. I don't know. I don't know. They don't have – I know he's got a better recruiting class coming up, but it's not filled with Indiana guys, Indiana kids. The Indiana kids now, Brandon,
they have two.
They had
two of them.
Yeah,
Trace Jackson.
They got Trace Jackson from Center Grove, and they got the kid from Cathedral. But it used mm-hmm. to be Calvert Cheney, Greg Graham, Matt Nover, Eric Anderson. All Indiana All-Stars all wanted to go to IU. You know what I'm saying? At
mm-hmm.
one, at the same time, Allen Henderson. You know what I mean?
Allen Anderson from Michigan State.
David Bailey. All wanted to go to IU at the same time, or, you know, and like now they don't really have it. We have Kyle Guy, who we, you know, talk about Virginia. He's a McDonald's All American, he's from Indiana.
Yeah. Lawrence Central.
I talked about the kid, Anthony Lill, who's still in high school in Bloomington of all places. And his number one school is Butler. There's a kid, this Indiana All-Star, Place of Carmel, 6'9". I think his name, what was his name, Malloy?
Yes.
Yeah. Going to Butler. You know? So, and then, but you know, there's another kid in Fort Wayne, Keon Brooks, who looks to be a little special, but he's kind of undecided. IU was on his list, but he's kind of undecided. He doesn't know where he's going to go. That's what he's at. But it's not – they're not – either, A, the kids ain't beating down the door to get to IU, and I know it's a different regime now, but IU, Archie Miller, or even Tom Crean, they're not recruiting these kids. The guys are going elsewhere.
I do want to give a shout-out while we're talking a little bit about recruiting and such. There's something special going on up here in Indiana, and it's up north. And I would be remiss if I didn't say the job that Luke Brown is doing right now for Blackford High School in Hartford City, just east of Muncie. Luke Brown's a sophomore point guard, and this guy is averaging 35 points a game. He is on pace right now to break Damon Bailey's scoring record all time. We talked about it with Romeo and all this, but this kid...
Oh, wow.
This cat is he's shooting 42% from three. He's shooting 97% from the free throw line. Most free throws made this season out of anybody as well. Shooting 56% from the field goal, from the free field goals. He's attempted almost 400 field goal attempts for the season. He's averaging 35.9 points a game this year. He's played 17 games. The next closest is a dude from Newcastle, averaging 32 points. But this Luke Brown kid's a sophomore, and the kid's legit. Overall,
he's not staying here. He's going to Michigan State.
I mean, Indiana rank right now out of all the Indiana players, and this is from seniors, juniors, sophomores, freshmen, he's 165th, okay? But that's only because you have seniors and juniors that are ahead of him. But right now he's taking his team to a 13-4 record at Blackford High School, Hartford City. The dude's lights out. He had 55 points a couple weeks ago against a team cut from Elwood, which is just down the road here from Indianapolis where we're located at. He played one of my teams from back in my high school, Tri-Central. He had 39. He played Northwestern. He had 34. And then last night, he played Oak Hill, which Oak Hill basketball, decent teams. 39 points last night against Oak Hill. So this kid's only a sophomore. So Luke Brown, keep an eye on him. I'm trying to figure out recruiting-wise where this guy could possibly go, but I'm not seeing anything.
It's too early.
Well, I'd like to know if any of these Indiana teams are going after him. You know, I think it'd be interesting to see if they are. Now, you were talking keep talking real quick. I'm trying to find the state of Indiana recruiting for where we were ranked at. Because you're right, a lot of the recruits are not looking at Indiana anymore. And, you know, why is that? Is it the lure of the national stage? Is it the coaches? Is it because players are saying more that they're more likely to make it to the pros if you go to a Kentucky or you go to a Duke or you go to, I don't know, Arizona or Michigan State than you would Indiana or Purdue?
I don't necessarily think Kyle Guy is an NBA guy. I think he has a chance to make a Euro League or something like that. But Virginia, you didn't even go to the best ACCs. I mean, I guess they technically are, but they ain't the number one. They like Virginia, the program in the ACC. Okay, it's Duke and North Carolina, then everybody else got to get in line. Who's got the best program? Because Maryland moved out a couple years ago. That's just the reality. But I can't believe I think he's a good basketball player. He hits critical. I mean, he's a shot maker. Something IU need. I just don't understand why Tom Crean didn't recruit him.
Mm-hmm.
Or he might maybe did. Not, maybe there was too much tumultuousness around, you know, Tom Crean being around. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, you know, he chose Virginia. But there's other guys. That's not just him. He ain't necessarily just the crown jewel. I'm just saying he was a McDonald's All-American. And it's just
right.
Just a head scratcher that, you know, guys end up going somewhere else.
Okay. Any last things, John, before we wrap up?
Man, I got one pet peeve. The NBA, remember the NBA on NBC theme song? I don't know if you remember that as a kid. It used to come on Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon, you know who uses this now?
College Fox. Fox.
Man, yeah, it's horrible.
They play it too much.
Brandon, every time I listen to it, like I'm like, if I'm out the room and not paying attention, I'm thinking like an NBA game's getting ready to come on and Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, back in the day, and then I run into the room, and it's Army and the Holy Cross playing. It's a huge letdown, man. They need to find a new song. That's my only gripe, dude.
I thought they played it too much because the first time I noticed it was during Purdue IU when they played earlier this year up in Purdue. I was later watching the game, and every commercial they would go out of or come in from, it was always that song. And it made me hate the song because it was always something that you would park your butt on a Sunday and watch. And if that doesn't get you pumped, I mean.
Yeah. But it gets me pumped for like a Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson Sunday showdown.
Yeah.
Or Michael Jordan against Charles Barkley and, you know, Kevin Johnson. Showdown.
And the voice. And now, the 1993 NBA Finals from Chicago,
right.
Illinois. I mean,
right.
Gotta love it. Absolutely. There was something else on NBA I was thinking of, and it's going to slip my freaking mind.
You better start taking notes, buddy.
I know. I'll have a notepad right beside me. I've been taking them all night, but I can't think of what it is. It was something about the NBA. But anyways, so that's your pet peeve. I like it. You think you're going to sit down and watch one of those great games, and then holy cross.
right.
Are you going to tune into the Grammys at all tonight?
Man, like Chuck D said many, many years ago, who gives a fuck about a goddamn
Ooh.
No,
ooh.
Man, I don't even listen. I don't like you. If anybody follows me on Instagram, Birdsong74, if anybody follows me on Instagram, me and my daughter like to share the music radio. We like to share the dial. She likes some of my old school music, you know what I'm saying, from the 80s and 90s. And I kind of can listen to some of the stuff right now. But like radio, regular radio, it's not happening, man. There's nobody out right now that I would give a Grammy to, R&B wise, hip hop wise, or even rock and roll wise. I mean, I listen to everything. So
yeah,
There's nobody. There's no. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to have a crappy show. Because every time the Grammys does come out, they you know, this is performers' chance to. This is their showcase. This is their Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But like, they're taking the award seriously. Like, I don't. I don't listen to it. I'm not going to watch it, man.
Okay.
All.
I'm just going to tune in. That's all I'm going to do.
I'll catch the highlights.
Okay. How was Cinderella?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just proud. Like I said, I'm proud of me and my daughter do a whole lot of things together. And, you know, this is one of her things she likes to do. She's in eighth grade. I don't necessarily think she wants to be a professional actor. She likes to do, you know, extracurricular things to get you out of school. That's what she tells me, right? So she got a part, a speaking part in the play. And not only, so as a parent, you're always going to home her out for your kid. You know what I mean? You're going to think, mm-hmm.
LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball, you know.
Right, you're going to LeVar Ball. I thought she deserved an Oscar for her small piece speaking part. But like I said, it was her school's St. Monica, Indianapolis, put on the play for Cinderella. She got the part of the queen, and not only was the entire play pretty good. I mean, my daughter's part in the play pretty good, but the entire play was pretty good as well. Their performance for eighth graders, you understand?
Yep.
kept your attention, and everybody did a real good part in bringing life Cinderella on the stage. And I'm proud of my daughter, of course, and I'm proud of all the kids that participated. And the people and
awesome.
The parents that helped put it on.
Absolutely. Shout out to her. I'm glad it went well. I saw the family photo, so it she was the queen. She was the queen.
Right. Yep.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. I know we had to get it in early this week due to some scheduling conflicts, but we'll be back the following week better than ever. As always, be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, follow our Twitter account as well. Everything will be on there. Follow at Three Foolish Men and then at Brandon Reef, and obviously our Crossroads One podcast will be up later this evening as well. Be sure to share it for your likes, and be sure to check out JB tonight at Three Foolish Men on Twitter, because I mean, we're going to be hearing that, and there's some similarities between Negan and Jonathan Birdsong, also known as the Reverend, ladies and gentlemen, the Reverend. So from myself, Brandon Reef, Jonathan, the Reverend Birdsong, thank you guys for listening. We will see you all again next week.
Amen.
Take it easy, John.
Crossroads Sports.